There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday. And we are on the road today, and it is Christmas time. Well, there's harbingers of Christmas. It means we're at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And a lot to talk about with Ron and Anna and Nancy, the whole gang here. And also your chance to win prizes. We're going to get a picture up of, and somebody will probably use AI to figure this out, but a jar of pennies. If you count them correctly, there are prizes to be won, and we'll talk about those with Ron here in just a little bit. But, yeah, we're going to be out here until 2 o'clock, but you can come by and stop and get lunch. It smells fantastic in here as the food is ready to go. So stop by, see us, grab lunch. And I'll tell you what, the first one of y'all that comes on in, I've got a FM Talk 106.5. The bucket, the logoed bucket with the throw handle, the rope handle, the whole nine on that, it is yours. For Christmas, and we'll see you here in just a little bit. All right, on the show today, our leadoff batter does it every Wednesday, and it's good to always get him on, Cameron Smith, and we talk about his writing for the Tennessean, we talk about his work in film with The Ballad of Davy Crockett, but right now, before we even get into the politics of the day, I want to lean heavily on his new budding music career with the band Wasted Bacon. Cameron, what's going on, man?
Well, Sean, I've actually been in a period of prayer and fasting leading to the college football playoff, and I've been surviving solely on Notre Dame tears, and they are delicious.
Hey, here's the thing. So I started talking about this Monday. Like, am I happy that we're in? Yes. I don't feel it's – I mean, I'm glad we're there. Obviously, as, you know, a graduate and a fan, I'm glad we're there. But I do feel like, should we really be there? You know, I'm glad we are. I'm not going to take away from that. But, I mean, you could make an argument we shouldn't.
Well, the answer is probably no, based on what happened with Georgia. But then I look at JMU and Tulane in the college football playoff. And then I say, yes, we're clearly better than them. So, okay, cool. I'm glad we're there.
Okay, you make a fair point. Good, I'll use that to make my to help me with my guilt. All right, the second part of this, I mentioned the music, and we've teased this a little bit on the show in the past, but we have a drop date for the new single from Wasted Bacon. Can you tell us about what we're going to hear and when we're going to hear it?
Well, anybody can go and check out the new Christmas single. I think this was maybe your idea, Sean, of Wasted Bacon.
I think it was, yes.
A Christmas album, and you know that was a bigger lift. But the single "Santa Got Deported" will be available Friday morning at 8 a.m. Anywhere you stream music. So, you know, that's where you got to go check it out. And you know, I gave Sean an advanced copy. So
yeah, I've been in studio on the production of this, y'all. It is I would say the best Christmas single out this year. It's fantastic. I got to hear the early cuts, the demo, and then the master cut, and y'all are going to love this.
Well, I'm excited, and it kind of reminds me of Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. But we need to laugh at our politics, at our situation, and I'm telling you, if there is one illegal alien that we need to watch out for, it's Santa Claus.
Does anybody have any idea what country he calls home anyway?
No one knows. He could be transporting anything. Do we know he's not a human trafficker? I don't know. So we got to check it out.
We do, and the song helps do that. So, that's releasing on Friday, and y'all will talk about it later this week to remind you to go download it. All right, let's go here, and this is made news yesterday. They started rolling this out about a week or two ago with the press, and I know that they had talked about this, some, the Trump administration, this make farming great again or something like that. No, the golden age of agriculture in the United States. Remember, they started that that discussion. I don't know what it actually meant. And then it kind of got some teeth as a presser yesterday, President Trump saying $11 billion in farm bailout money coming. We're going to fix it for the farmers out there, especially soybean farmers. What's your take on the bailout for farmers?
Well, Sean, my wife has told me I can't cuss on the radio, so I'm not. But this is I've got a phrase for this that I'm working through. It's the United Soviet Socialist Republicans, because I am tired of this crap. There is no excuse for this. People have short memories in politics. $28 billion farm bailout in Trump won. We're doing $12 billion now. And the reason is Trump's trade policies. They have hammered farmers. It's not hard to draw the line. You know, his tariffs, those trade policies directly hurt farmers. And then he's saying, you know what? You're hurt. You're not competitive. You're not sustainable. Let the government give you some cheese. That is the most socialist mindset that you could have. And I get it. Some people that Trump does a lot of good things. I agree with that. I'm not arguing that. I'm arguing that this particular area in the policies, Trump has been destructive for farmers. And I get it. Farmers like Trump. They're looking for a way to kind of square this circle. But the bottom line is those trade policies and tariff policies have been destructive for agriculture. There's no way to look around that. And then they do government handouts to try to patch over it. And we just need to call it what it is. It's a socialist policy that's a bad deal. And we need to stop. We need to stop harming farmers. America is great when our businesses can compete and kick tail all over the world. And what we've said is, well, maybe they can't, and we need to protect them. But that ends up hurting them.
Well, okay, so part of this is I guess the White House has come out and said this is a bridge payment versus, a bailout, right? I mean, I don't know how much of this is semantics, but a bridge payment for the short term. Now, to take the other side of this, remember Trump said, I guess it was about a year ago, saying, hey, it's going to hurt in the short term, right? But we got to get through this. These tariffs are going to hurt in the short term, but we're going to be better off down the road. So maybe this is the, hey, we're trying to right side or square that circle like you talked about for American farmers. We got to do this to get them to the next planting season, which, by the way, if they're planting beans, they got to have every dollar to make it through this year and to plant next year.
Yeah, tell us the farmers who are trying to buy fertilizer. It's ridiculous. And it's because of Trump's trade policies. And so Sarah Palin talked about a bridge, too. The bridge to nowhere. And I think that's what this is. At some point, and we saw this with coffee, with beef, and stuff like that, Trump said, I got to roll back my tariff policies because they're, jacking up prices. Well, yeah, that's what they do. They're a tax on American businesses and consumers. Like, that's not actually unclear. This idea, it's easy political rhetoric to say, well, we're taking from other countries and giving to farmers. But that's a lie. It is not a misunderstanding. It's not it's just not true. And so this is a tax on American businesses and consumers that then we're reallocating to keep farmers and businesses alive. And the best chance is let farmers sell their goods all over the world without these trade burdens, and then they can do it on their own. Because I know a lot of farmers. You know what farmers actually prefer is to be able to make payments and make the farms work. They don't want to compete. They don't love government handouts. Some of them do, but most of them don't. They're really independent. They don't like the idea of the government putting their hand on the scales.
But the government has been meddling in this post-World War II, right? I mean, federal government meddling in ag policy, I mean, that's just a thing, right? I mean, you know where I come from. You've been to the farm where my family comes from. So that's been something since, they came home from World War II. That's been part of, where we're going to secure our food production. We're going to do these things here in the United States. So there has been meddling in it in the past.
Yes, and for commodity crops and baseload stuff, I have this, I go round and around with groups like Alpha saying, do you actually need this? Like, is this necessary? Why don't we allow the market to kind of sort this out? And there is, with the American people, there's a national security argument saying we got to make sure we have enough production domestically to meet our demand so that we're not beholden to anyone. I get that. And if we want to draw a real straight line to that and say, here's the policies that involve American food security, fine. I'll have that discussion all day long and we can talk about that. But beyond that, we're just manipulating the market. And especially with tariff policy, we know that what you're doing is making input prices for farmers more expensive. You're cutting off market access. Just look at what happened with China and soybeans. And, hey, maybe Trump relents and says, we're going to use tariff policies to open up markets all over the world, and then we're going to reduce these tariffs to zero. That's just not what he's done. That is not what he's done. And I think we need to call a spade a spade. I mean, these are the policies I would expect from liberal Democrats.
And there's that's part of populism. That's the problem. Let me talk about this. Let's say, what would you tomorrow? You're running. You know, you're head of ag for the United States, and you're going to make a decision. What is our policy when you have countries like, well, look at Brazil, you know, a semi-ally, a non-ally like China or India? I mean, what do you do? Because they're not playing. I mean, they're not playing straight up free market.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that that's fair. And I think the anticipation of how Trump was going to use these policies makes a lot of sense. If China's dumping soybeans or dumping beef or dumping something into the market to reduce the prices to kill American farmers, then it's fine to retaliate and say, no, we want a level playing field. But the point is to get to a level playing field. That's what we're trying to do. What's happened is the Trump administration has put tariffs on countries that don't have any tariffs on us. They put tariffs in place in ways that don't make any sense. If you use it as a tool to level the playing field and say, you open your markets to us, we open our markets to you, then I'm all for it. But if it's just, we like tariffs and we're going to slap tariffs everywhere, that's just taxes and I'm not supportive of that.
All right, people want to continue this conversation, or I don't know if there's a countdown clock for when the single drops on Friday for Wasted Bacon, the Christmas song. How do they find you online?
At D. Cameron Smith on the X Machine. Come join the conversation. Yell at me, but it's the holidays, so let's have some fun, too.
Good stuff. Cameron, I appreciate it, man. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, brother.
All right, there goes Cameron Smith, and we're coming right back. We are live at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Your Christmas special stop here. Prizes, lunch, and a lot of great deals that at 2 o'clock, I get to start taking advantage of here on my Christmas shopping. So come by and see us. Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. We are here till 2.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
So welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along. And we're live at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And come on by and stop and get lunch. It smells fantastic in here as you come in, grab a sandwich. And while you're here, too, while you're in like the food zone, make sure you check out this. So I'm wondering about this, and Ron's going to join me around 12:35. We posted up the picture on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. It is the picture of the jar of pennies. Now, I'm wondering if there's any kind of AI out there that can be used to analyze this and guess it, because if you guess it, you can incorrectly, you're going to win prizes. You can see those listed there on the front of the jug. But I don't know. We'll find out if the days of guessing pennies or marbles or anything are over because of technology. We'll see if somebody comes up to the exact number, but we'll talk about with that with Ron in just a little bit. Let's grab a couple texts here. This is... First up, let me get the Supermom. So he says, just for your information, and if you go, the song drops from Cameron on Friday. It's pretty funny. It's Santa Got Deported. It's kind of like, you know, Grandma Got Run Over kind of vibe to it. It says, the legend, so Supermom says the legend of Santa Claus has its roots in Turkey, where the historical figure St. Nicholas was born around 280 AD. He was a bishop in the city of Myra, modern-day Turkey, who was known for his generosity. The tradition was later carried to other parts of the world, evolving through various cultural influences from the Netherlands, Germany. I know Germany had a bunch to do with it, right? And other regions to become the modern-day Santa Claus. So what you're saying here, Supermom, is he's international. So I don't even know what passport, like, what's his nationality? And should he be allowed to travel just across? I mean, doesn't have to do anything, like, not even a work visa. I mean, he's working, right, one night a year, but it means working. All right, Fire Dog said, so when India charges Harley-Davidson 300% tariff on their motorcycles so that Harley-Davidson will never sell a motorcycle there, it's okay, or do we put a tariff on Indian goods? I don't get where this is okay. Europe puts a large import tariff on American-built cars. Yeah, I think what Cameron said when I asked him a follow-up is he believes in, like, tariff, like, if there's something, and this is something I've talked about in the past, and you can see the Trump administration has kind of moved this way. And this is what I agree with. Like, if they make a widget, whatever, this other country makes a widget and we make a widget and they're tariffing our widgets and we're not, then no, we should have equivalent tariffs. The ones that got me, like, you know, we've taken them off of like rubber and coffee and those things. Back when all this started, I said, let's not tariff things that we don't make. Right. I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense there. So, and the Trump administration's backed off of that. I think, you know, so Fire Dog, I think what Cameron said is that, you know, in those situations, he would believe in an equivalent tariff. Now, but here's a problem. Is this short term? What did they say yesterday? President Trump said it was a bridge payment to get the farmers through there. My worry is, if I'm the countries that are imposing tariffs on the U.S. goods, and I see that it's a bridge loan, in other words, there's not a, it's a temporary thing, I'm just going to hold out. And maybe, you know, in a geopolitical way, I'm missing something, but just in the regular folks, though, if I know that you're just trying to starve me out or wait me out on a deal, then I'm going to dig my heels in more, right? So I don't know how that ends up working. All right, on to unnamed texture, I think, maybe unnamed texture. Hey, how about this for my Christmas present this year? Will y'all start giving yourself some nicknames and stuff on the text line? I appreciate it. Says, your friend Mr. Smith needs to stick to his music. His ignorance is showing when it comes to economics. He has a misunderstanding of President Trump's tariffs and economic policies. Well, can you explain them to me? Then what he's missing. I mean, you may disagree with it, but he is highly educated in this. You may have a difference in philosophy with him. He is maybe even stronger than my libertarian lean. He's got a libertarian lean, so that's where he's coming from in this. Thank you, Supermom. Did clarify, Santa just needs a H2AB visa for seasonal work. Yeah, somebody should be asking, you know, at one of the pressers with President Trump, saying, like, hey, by the way, President Trump, what happens here with Santa? What kind of documentation would he need? Chris in Orange Beach say, play some Waste of Bacon. And if it's good, if it's so good, and Roll Tide. Well, Roll Tide to you. And you understand, Chris, what I was talking about. I get that other teams have made it in the playoffs, and I'm very happy that our Crimson Tide did. But at the same time, true Alabama fan, you feel, unless it's perfect, you feel guilty, right? I mean, you're the most critical person on the team if you're a super fan, I think. That's my take on it. And the Waste of Bacon, we'll be able to play it come next week, I guess Friday, and then next week, because it has an actual release date, which is, like I said, I've heard it, well crafted. I heard the demo, heard the final cut, and it's good stuff. Let's see, this texter said, "We're bankrupt, Sean." That sure, I don't know who, but sure looks like Ricky E's there. We're bankrupt, Sean. Yeah, we have been bankrupt. You probably to the United States of America. Yeah, well, you know how you get over that? You quit spending. This is the other problem, too. What we're talking about doing is, like, and I didn't get a chance yet to talk about the $1,500 checks, right? This has now gone from $2,000 checks for Americans to $1,500 checks coming back. As the president saying, you know, going to cut these checks to Americans to help them get through here and deal with the cost. Okay, I got an idea. Spend it on the deficit. Spend it on the debt. Service the debt. It is way more valuable for me and my children and my grandchildren that you spend this money paying off the debt than send a check to the people. So we're bankrupt. We the people are bankrupt, right? Unless you stop spending while you're still collecting. Quite a concept. All right, coming right back for Midday Mobile. We are live at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Come see us.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
So welcome back, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Wednesday, and live at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And it's a harbinger of Christmas, Ron, when we're out here.
Yes, it is. It's nice to have you this year. We couldn't do it last year because we had a dog that had surgery, and we really couldn't pull it off.
Now, let's say this, too. So last year, you had a dog surgery emergency. So I come back in here. Y'all, we're going to pull the curtain back. And we were talking a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. You said, hey, by the way, there's another dog surgery that's going to be happening at the time, you know, the aftermath when you're here.
Yep. And it actually was only 2 days difference from Bob hurting his same. It's not, dogs don't have an ACL, but it's similar to an ACL. It's a CCL ligament in their leg. So Shark only had a partial tear, so it was much easier, and he's doing really great.
What are you doing with the dogs? Are they doing, like, you see those competitions on TV where they're doing the leaping over the stuff? What are the dogs doing to get so injured, Bob?
Yeah,
I got to ask you.
Well, Bob last year was changing directions just like a football player. He was running through the backyard and something was in his way. He didn't notice it. And he turned really sharp and you heard the pop, and that was all she wrote. And Sharks was another dog jumped on top of him when they were jumping and kind of just forced his leg.
I know it stinks, but to have two of your dogs, yep, you know, getting on the IR.
And it was terrible because it was a situation to where, you know, I didn't want to do what we were doing. Like, I really need to head back into Mobile. We're at the beach.
Yeah.
And that's like, let's just do a quick golf cart ride. And then, of course, that happens. So,
just one golf cart ride, yeah, too many.
Always listen to your inner self. If it says skip this event, maybe skip that event. But Shark came through really well. The surgery, he got his stitches out yesterday, and the vet gave him a 10 out of 10. So he's already walking on it. And usually it takes about 6 weeks before they'll actually walk on the leg that had surgery.
He's an exceptional dog.
Yeah, he's a really good dog.
And I just do, once again, when y'all come in here, just ask about the dog, the canine IR here, because he has an injured reserve as they're here. We're going to get to so many things here, but the people have been lighting me up on the text line here, too. The pennies.
Pennies.
Let's talk about the pennies, because now they're very interested. They want they want to guess the pennies. Give me the policy here, Ron.
Yeah, they come in, guess either the quantity of pennies in the jar or the dollar value. We'll convert it on a spreadsheet and figure out who's closest.
Of course you will, math guy.
And we're going to have, if you have time, we're going to run it through a counter before you leave, and then we'll have the count. We'll figure out a day next week right before Christmas to announce the winner with you on one of our call-ins.
So, okay.
But let me just throw a few things in.
Yeah.
It's an odd-sized jar. Eric, we used to be in, he was a chef.
Okay.
And once a chef, always a chef.
Well, I can smell, yeah, he does good work.
And
yeah,
it's an odd-sized jar. So it's not like a gallon or a gallon and a half. It's a really odd-sized jar. And
that was smart. Okay.
I put filler in there. So there's a spoiler.
Okay.
So because AI can
welcome
figure
to Vegas
that out pretty close.
Well, I was going to say that. So do you think that AI in these days could look at a jar and say,
I got online. It's going to ask you the size of the jar, and then it can get pretty close, evidently, usually within about 20 pennies. But there's a filler in there, so even if you had the exact size of the jar, which is we took the label off so nobody could even see that, and then put filler inside. Not a lot, just something as a spoiler.
Well, I'm thinking, like, going to the county fair is not going to be the same anymore, doing guessing games.
Yeah,
now,
people
would
pull out their ChatGPT and take a guess, and, I mean, people have won, not the full lottery, but the pick fours and stuff like that have been nailing them, because this thing's picking with the numbers that recur most often. It can go back. Obviously, you and I could do it, but we'd be spent our whole weekend doing math, and this thing can do it in seconds.
Yeah,
you know?
Tell me what the most, the best sequence of numbers or whatever. So, okay, when y'all walk in here in the front, you're going to see the pennies in the odd size. You don't know what the container volume is, jar. Make your guess, and then how do they qualify that? Because people are like, can we guess, like, they get to come in here, they fill out a sheet, or what do they do?
Yeah, it's just a sheet everybody's filling out. They can actually see a bunch of other people's guesses. I mean, make your own guess. That's probably the best way to do it. And as they're being filled out, as the sheet's full, we're sticking it in Excel so we can sort it by the quantities. And then, of course, once we have the count, and then we're not going to announce anything on the count. We just want you to hold it the number and keep it to yourself. And then next week sometime we'll announce it live on the air, one of your call-ins.
Okay, so I will have in a secured briefcase, I will have the actual number.
Yep.
And people will be guessing. Yep. And then, like you said, we'll do it right before Christmas.
Yeah, we'll keep the guessing going right up till when you're ready to do the announcement. You're going to figure that out a little later. So
what are we winning here?
You can win a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle, a 1/10 ounce platinum coin of Eagle, or a 1 ounce silver round. And if people want the cash equivalent, they could get the cash equivalent in spot.
Okay, but if we're comparing cash equivalent and the way precious metals have done the last year, I'm going to stick with the precious metals.
Yeah, it's going to keep going up because cash equivalent of the 10th ounce gold is right around $425 right now.
And if y'all haven't noticed, that dollar doesn't appreciate, but the precious metal does.
Does, yes.
You know, and you've always, I love it, always this balanced approach. You've told people from the day we started talking, you weren't like, put everything in precious metals, go do this and bury it in the backyard. You're like, as a hedge, as part of a portfolio.
Yes.
And you've just been steady with that and also steady how you think people should invest in it, which I appreciate as well. But this last year, I'm going to let you get, just for a second. A hedge. This is a lead dog.
Yeah. A lot of people have been looking at it that way. I just caution everybody during this period, maybe look at it that way, but don't ever cash this other portfolios out.
Is not good.
And dump it in silver. All your eggs in one basket. Of course, you drop that basket and they all break, or at least most of them break. So be very careful. Nothing wrong if somebody wants to squeeze a little bit out, 10% out of one of their other stock portfolio. If they got a stock that's been performing very well and they want to take a little out, man, that's okay too. But we've had people selling other things and putting it all into silver, and I would never advocate that myself.
Yeah, since day one. Yeah. So, I mean, this is what I appreciate too. This, y'all, he's been saying that when gold was a lower number and silver was a lower number. He said it when it's been halfway there, and he's saying it now. The same message of consistency, I appreciate. But it is something to think about. Just people that would have listened last year.
You doubled your money in silver.
Right. So that's the thing, because often you would go, well, if somebody bought something in 1976, Ron, they'd have made a real lick on it. But now we're talking about somebody that bought something in 2024.
Yep. And with the way the dollar's going and the economy and everything else, although the economy seems to be stabilizing, the dollar and the money that the government's printing is just toasting the dollar. And people are starting to realize that. And a lot of major banks are promoting the fact that their constituents need to get into the gold and silver bullion. So we're seeing people that never in a million years.
What did that make you think? When a Jamie Dimon or somebody like that starts talking about the pressure metals they were, what did that make you think? Because you've been
right
in this world for a long time.
You take a step back because we never heard that stuff before. So I mean, we have people coming in that have never been in the markets before, and like I said, I've had people come in that I wasn't comfortable doing the deal they wanted. They were older, retired, and wanting to put all their cash into that. And you need cash, and if the market was to crash, of course the dollars could crash. So they got it's a fine line, but I kind of can tell people to go talk to their stock, whoever their retirement advisor is, who's helping them along, see what their recommendations were. And that guy recommendation was a 20%. So instead of the whole thing that they wanted to do, they cashed out 20%, which is safe, and they came back and bought the gold and silver.
And that's, I mean, you talk about this hedge too, and I mean, we kind of throw that word around, but that idea being, if one part of your portfolio, often the trend with precious metals, if one part of the portfolio is going down,
the other's going up. Hopefully.
I mean, there have been some rare instances where they both track the same way, but often precious metals will behave differently than maybe an equity.
Usually they will, unless there's something like a war going on, or so we're going to invade somebody, or somebody's bombing somebody, because people run to cash. Mm-hmm. Whether they really should do that in times of turmoil or not, I don't agree with it, but they do. And then, of course, it's a chain reaction, because a major bank will have an automatic ticker where they sell because it hit a certain amount. They have to profit take. They have to get the money for their fiduciary responsibility. They have to do it. Well, other people see a big drop in silver, like a couple weeks ago, a drop below 50. And we had people coming in selling everything. I'm like, it's not over, people.
Right.
You know, Trump's a good guy, but he didn't just magically fix this whole thing. It's just a lot of people jumping on the sell bandwagon. Of course, it went from 48 to 60 in 2 weeks.
Right. And we talk about the appreciation on that. I mean, I'm thinking year to year, but some of this stuff is as a percentage of the total value. Now, you know, people say, well, that's $12, whatever it is. As a percentage of the total value of that silver, it's a big percentage in gain.
And I, like I said, I'm not an investment advisor in any way, shape, or form, but I've been doing this since I was 13 years old, so I've seen a lot of ups and downs. This is the first time in my life we've had a scenario like this where so many different things were at play. And so it's hard to predict based on my knowledge. Yeah, so you just got to kind of take all the numbers and make your best guess.
Let me talk about that. I knew you've done it a long time. You were 13.
Yeah.
What does 13-year-old Ron get into this? How do you get into this?
Well, I grew up, I had when I was 13, neighbors moved in, was a coin dealer from St. Louis. I became really good friends with their guy's son. And just...
Because I've known you've had this coin, you've had this coin knowledge for a long time. So this started... So collecting coins for the collectability and the precious metals at the same time?
Yes, sir.
So what were the... I mean, like, you're 13. We're not calling ages out here. None of us are as young as we used to be. But what was an ounce of gold selling for back then?
$300.
$300.
And that was in the 90s. In the 70s, it was actually selling for about $38. So a lot different.
Wow. And you told me one time as well that there was a ratio. I thought this was neat, and y'all can Google it as well, but Ron's been teaching me about this forever, that the value of that ounce was related to cost of it. Was it a new suit or something like that? It was a and by the way, too, yes, that gets water here on the sidelines here. Ron needs get a water here. There we go. But no, I was going to, after you take your sip of water here, take some water. You said the relationship, wasn't it a suit or something like that, the price of a suit, and was it an ounce of gold.
And, of course, it was $24 back in the day. So
right.
If you take what that was for a good suit, we're not talking just going down to Kmart or something like that, but, you know, a nice suit cost back in the day when gold was trading at $24 an ounce. If you take the $2,000 to $4,000 it is today, of course, you can buy a better suit. But a few years ago, it tracked almost equally until the last about 12 months.
It's so neat. If y'all go back, and when he first turned me on to looking at this, I was like, no way. I mean, you said, like, I would ever. And I went, oh, yeah, those kind of suits like that, they cost that kind of money. And then, so as the, you know, because you took it back to the old West. The old cowboy came in, if he had some money to buy a suit, you know, the old funerals and wedding suit or whatever, it was about that equivalent in gold then.
Yes, it was. And in the 60s, gas was 10 to 15 cents a gallon in silver. So mm-hmm. You basically were spending silver for it. You equate that to today's silver, and it buys about exactly the same amount of gas. So it's just inflation. It's almost magic, but it's just the track has been almost since we got out of precious metals as far as a country backing their currency, and now we have fiat currency. It's just taken off. If we're still backing our currency, it's a way the government can actually control it more, which they would love to do. And everybody, of course, conspiracy theory, they think the government's been for the last 10 years keeping silver down by allowing ETFs to trade open on the open market equal to silver when they really shouldn't. Because an electronically traded silver fund, you're never going to be able to receive physical silver. You're just
betting.
Yeah,
what is that story? Like when that happens and you're you get an ETF, and we've seen these precious metal ETFs out there. You can't, like, make a call and say, all right, I'm out, and I want that. I want to see that metal here, you know.
Nope, it's because they're allowed to trade more shares than they actually have. They have to have some in reserve. So if they have...
What could go wrong?
Then? 10 million shares, they have to have like a million ounces in reserve. So they're allowed to sell 10 times more. Some ETFs are 100 times more. So they do not physically have enough silver to deliver to
the people. Do they not remember bank runs?
Yep.
Any of the, or like when, I don't know, let's go way back in time... to 2007 when they were loaning 125% of the value of a house, and they wonder what happened to the market.
Have you noticed that's coming back a little bit at a time, too? Because I've heard some people offering loans and things of that nature, and they're talking 105%. So they're already over 100%. That's a bad thing.
Don't we remember? Oh, let's do this. We'll go to the break. Come back from the news. More with Ron. We are at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Going to be here till 2 o'clock, but you can put your guesses in for the pennies. All through, we'll find a date pretty close to Christmas to do that drawing. Am I going to count pennies later? You got me counting them? Make sure we get a recount on this. We'll be right back.
You're You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on the road. It's that harbinger of Christmas when we're here at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And it smells like the holidays in here, too. What are we eating today? It smells fantastic.
Eric did a good job. He made a couple smoked, were they pork butts? Pork butts and
applewood, cherry wood, and pecan in it. My man, this no wonder it smells so good.
Plenty of bags of chips, cold waters, things of that nature. So come on by the shop here and make a guess on the pennies like we were talking about and win yourself some gold, silver, or platinum.
I got to talk about some of the other gifts, but I'm just fascinated by this. And you and I talked during the news break, but there's some things I'm just ignorant to. And the ETFs, like for precious metals, are trading at a 10-to-1 or 100-to-1 ratio to what they actually hold.
Yes, sir. So it's legalized gambling. All stock is legalized gambling.
It really is to some degree. I mean, like, I give people grief, like, I'm not a gambler. And they're like, well, look at you and what you do with equities. I said, that's different. That's different.
It is a little different because it has a track history you can point at.
And there's some not, you can educate yourself on something. It's not
rolling the dice.
Right. Right.
Per se, it takes some skill.
A lot better odds to roll the dice, probably.
Yes.
Get into equities. But on this, you and I talked about that. This is when we get, you said you're already seeing people 105% of the home's value.
And they've had it on the radio a number of places where you could still borrow money 100-105%. And that's dangerous. You get over 100%, and of course, it becomes junk bond.
2007.
Level. Yep.
Ditech was loaning 125% of the value of a home. I remember seeing this and telling my late father, who was a heck of a businessman, but I'm just some kid.
And then they were.
And I said, "What are they doing? Where is the equity? How could they get the money back?" He said, "It's not good." And I said, "I don't think so either."
Yeah.
And then guess what?
It collapsed. Well, they started bundling all those junk things, and it became junk equities, bonds, and it's a house of cards. Once everybody realized what it was, there was no coming back to that.
Okay, I got to get some questions for Ron here from Jason. First up, does Ron still believe the gold is in Fort Knox?
I do believe it's there. I do. I know that a lot of conspiracy theories out there with the government, but it would destroy the economy. It really would, even though it's not enough money to pay the debt off in that gold or anything else. It's where different assets are kept, and they should all still be there, like the 1933 St. Gaudens, the seven of them that the taxpayers, they're our dollars, but of course they're held in Fort Knox. If those things really weren't there, along with the billions of dollars in gold, things would go. The dollar would just tank. It's not enough to shore up the dollar, but at the same time, it's a trust thing. So I think it really needs to be there, and there needs to be some kind of open audit on it to where they take cameras in there, and of course, there's security, but we can all see the gold's there. But then, of course, if Angelo was still alive, he'd say, how do we know those aren't gold-plated bars?
Correct. I mean, the spirit of Angelo there is like, and he was way ahead of his time because the rest of the internet now would say, well, that's AI, or that's not even real. Yeah, now we're going to prove it. And like, well.
Yeah, they'd have to have an independent assayer there. And they did that the last time they actually did it back in the 70s. They took an assayer along, cut out some pieces, and they assayed them. And it appeared it came out 90%.
Assayed. Okay, assayed.
It means to basically melt it down and assess the actual contents of what you've melted down.
I'm going to try to use that this weekend, not get slapped. Yeah. So I'm going to work on that. Michael says, if someone in 1985 took $1 out of every $3 that they made and bought silver dollars, they'd be in the money nowadays.
Oh, yeah, big time. Of course, if they had done the same thing and put that same money in Apple or Microsoft or some key stocks, they would have outperformed silver big time. So that's why you don't want to have all your eggs in bullion. Use it as a hedge. It's performing better than any racehorse ever has right now. Mm-hmm. But there's no guarantees that that's going to keep going on forever. You still want to have your money, some money in stocks, because just like I said, if you'd have taken that same money when Microsoft launched or Apple or any of those stocks launched, Google, you'd have millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Got that right. Can you ask Ron what the minimum wage equivalent of 1985 in silver dollars is to an hourly wage nowadays?
Oh, my God. We'd require a little bit of math there. But I know minimum wage in the 80s was way down there, $3 to $4. I'd have to Google it to see what it was. But I don't think it was much above $3 to $4, maybe $5. So it's if you could afford to buy silver at the time and invest it, you would have done well just like anything else. But there was a period of about 10 years to 15 years in the 90s into early 2000s where silver silver and gold didn't do anything. As a matter of fact, when we were buying it back then, you had to worry about what you were going to do with it. Even the refineries didn't always want to buy it because there was no market for it.
But times, they change.
Yeah, silver was trading at $1.92. I still remember thinking silver is under $2 an ounce. And Nancy and I at the time were using our 100-ounce silver bars as doorstops.
You're kidding.
In the house. We had them all over the house as doorstops, and nobody even knew what they were. It's just silver was so cheap. You had a $200 doorstop, you know?
Oh, my gosh. That's too funny. This from Mark says, can you ask Ron if they have any single quarters in the series? I believe it's called Historical Women or Important Women. My wife used to work at school, had access to quarters to fill her collection. She's now retired and wants to finish off her book.
There are we do carry those, but there are some that are worth some money, but they're mainly ones with errors. What's called a die cud, to where the die had a large piece of the die broke off. So as it stamps the new coin, it comes down, that metal flows into that recess and makes a blob, what's called a cull, a cut on the coin. And those are, there's some really cool ones, because if the first few designs, the dies didn't survive very long before large pieces started coming off. They've since redone the designs to alleviate that problem, and they've gone away. But mostly they're worth face value, so okay. You could pick those up very easy.
Last one here. We got the news coming to fast answer. Bill says, what should I do with 20 pounds of pennies, mostly from the 1960s?
I'd hold on to them for a while, because we'll be able to start melting them next year, and prices will go up once we can start melting them.
How about that? All right, we're coming right back. More from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Come on by and see us. Have some lunch. And next one of y'all comes in, I got a bucket for you. The FM Talk 106.5 bucket. No pennies in it, but the bucket's real nice.